the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, and we're off. It is Brenda Donoghue here. A very good afternoon to you. I'm here. I'm in for Ray for the day. Actually, that's quite a nice ring to it. In for Ray for the day. Who knows, maybe Dustin has finally flipped and kidnapped poor old Ray. So how are we all doing today? Are we holding our collective breath to see how we exiting, or are we exiting level 5 on December 1st? Do let me know, 51551, or you can email ray@rte.ie. Ought to be from Cavan or Tipperary today. Of course, not forgetting Dublin or Mayo, but come on, Cavan or Tipperary. Well, you know me, I wear my Marty squad hat all the time. This was just a wonderful afternoon of sport. Amazing results. And let's not forget Kildare. The hurling team won the Christy Ring Cup again for the second time yesterday, up the Lilies. Anyway, we're going to have loads to talk about that a little bit later on the show. Also on the programme, Conor Pope will be here to answer your consumer queries. Get them into us, pricewatch@rte.ie. And keeping well and healthy this winter has never been more important. And with that in mind, the HSE has produced a booklet called Keeping Well This Winter. It is, as I think it's already begun to be delivered to every household in Ireland. And Anne Sheridan, who is the Programme Manager for Mental Health and Wellbeing, and Sarah O'Brien, who is the National Lead for Healthy Eating and Active Living Programme, they're going to chat to us about the booklet, but to give us some tips about keeping well both mentally and physically this winter. Now, delighted to be here today because I'm looking forward to this bit of the show, the daily quiz. I actually get to talk to real people. Oh, yes, it's the time for our quiz of the day. As usual, we're looking for two contestants to take part and answer questions on the 23rd of November. The events, the music, the books, the movies. We've brought together 10 questions on this day across the years. And what a fabulous prize. Oh my goodness, we have a fabulous prize for you. It is the Riverlea Hotel in Cork, a Doyle Collection hotel. One lucky listener is in with the chance to win a 2-night stay with breakfast each morning and dinner on one evening. So with their award-winning bar and restaurant, the River Club, a stylish all-weather terrace and luxurious bedrooms all in the heart of Cork, weekends have never looked better. Well, hopefully they will. But if you win this, you'll have something to look forward to. And that's a huge thing. I just feel to have something to look forward to can help us so much get through these particular pandemic times. So if you want to take part in our quiz and win that fabulous prize, then answer our qualifying question. Which county in Ireland is known as the Royal County? 1850 715 900. Yes, it's which county in Ireland is known as the Royal County? Phone us now, 1850 715 900. Be prepared to tell me everything, by the way, what you have for breakfast, dinner, tea, as well as answer some questions. You're not going to win this prize very lightly. Our quiz of the day, Riverlea Hotel in Cork. Fantastic. Now, I know on this Darcy show, because I've been listening to it for a while, you have a fondness for the calendars, and you're always mentioning some of the calendars that are coming on. I think Ray was even talking about doing calendar awards. But I came across a calendar a few weeks ago. I was doing a report for Countrywide, and it's called the Irish Dresser 2021 calendar. And it's a really beautiful calendar, some gorgeous pictures in it of dressers along with their owners and their stories as well. And I was thinking about the Irish dresser and how the dresser used to take pride of place in many's a kitchen, with the mugs, the jugs, the bowls, maybe a crock and pan, hairpins, pennies for sweets, holy relics, family pictures, and of course, the very good set of Delft china, all finding a home in the dresser. Now, Michael Fortune, who is an Irish folklorist, has put this particular calendar together. He's been researching since 2015. Now, when I was on Countrywide, I did a little piece for the programme where I went around and I met some of the people, not in their houses, outside, of course, and I talked to them about their dressers, and they featured in the calendar. Now, I mean, we'd lovely stories there. But I met one couple, and what happened with them is something that I think a lot of people will have experienced, especially if you're going to set up house with your partner. You know, that initial phase where you're talking about goods and items and you're kind of busy, I suppose, getting everything ready and putting in the telly and all of that kind of thing. Well, anyway, I visited the home of Jim and Emma Dean in Kilrylan in County Carlow, and they feature in this calendar. But what I came across really was more of marital disharmony, was an argument, and I'm sure it's familiar with an awful lot of couples. Maybe you've been handed a piece of furniture or an ornament from your parents or gifted from other member of the family, and your partner looks at it and goes, no, 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 not on my watch. That old dresser, that broken lamp, that old record player, that china washbowl, they have no place in my beautiful new home. Well, I really thought that Jim and Emma hit the nail on the head of this whole area of marital discord. You see, Jim had been gifted two dressers from his aunts. The aunts were now dead. Emma had moved from Australia to marry Jim. She was setting up home. Was she happy with the dressers? Here's her,
what
let's
hear
it.
With the dressers? She didn't want them, is that right?
No, well, it didn't blend in, you see, with this new kitchen that we were getting, so the dresser had to go. But as I said, if she'd seen the dresser in Laura Ashley in Dublin, and if it was painted pink, she'd want it, even if it was €1,000. Yes. And this was a beautiful dresser that had to leave, so that's my end of it anyway.
Emma, hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you, Brenda? So anyway, about the dresses now. Mm. Okay, he's telling you a bit of a cock and bull story. I left my home to live here with him in Dunryland. And all he had to do was get rid of two old dresses. And he's complaining. Yeah. So he'd be all right. I just felt we were moving back into his home place. There was a very small kitchen. I had an idea about how I wanted it to look. And unfortunately, his dresses did not fit that look. And he just has to suck it up and get on with it.
So, Jim, am I guessing for peace sake, the dressers had to go?
The dressers had to go, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Jim and Emma Dean in Dunryland in County Carlow. I think explaining exactly the kind of issues and arguments and conflicts that can arise when a couple set up together. By the way, Jim and his dressers are Mr. May in the calendar, and the calendar is available at www.thedresserproject.ie. Do check it out. So when you're setting up home with a new partner, what are the objects or the habits did you and your partner have to make an accommodation on? Was there a war of the dressers, a tantrum over the TV, a sulk over the sofa? Do tell me all right now. 51551 or email ray at rte.ie. Lovely request has come in here today, and really happy to read this one out. It comes in from Sarah Halton, and she said, can you please send birthday wishes to Vera Boyle on her 100th birthday today. Vera is celebrating her birthday at Benevan Nursing Home in Glasnevin. She's very much a loved mother, nanny and great granny. 100 years of age. My goodness. Could you also give a shout out to her son and daughter-in-law, Monica and Michael, on their birthdays too? Beyond happy to do that. Happy big birthday, Vera, and especially to all the staff who are taking such good care of you there in Benevan Nursing Home in Glasnevin. I hope you're all having some gorgeous cake. So wonderful, Vera, 100 years of age. Happy birthday. Now, I have a question for you. It's a bit personal, but you're what the hell? It's a Monday. Speaking of food, oh, I didn't speak of food. Hang on, I forgot something. Oh, give me a second. Where's it gone? It doesn't matter. Anyway, I have a question for you, right? Has your romance dwindled in lockdown? Never in the mood after too much time together? In an intriguing new book, a top sexual therapist reveals the sizzling sex diet that will make you fall in love all over again. Christine Dulaire's has spent years helping, I think that's pronounced right anyway, has spent years helping couples with issues in their sex life. She claims some natural foods can improve your physical performance within hours. Are you listening, lads? Yeah? Very interesting. Well, I tell you the foods, we're not talking strawberries and chocolates here. We are talking, if you want to strengthen your libido, do it with spinach. Yes, mix green salad with a handful of spinach. That'll do it. If you feel like getting very sensual, what about a sexy smoothie containing whizzed up blueberries, spinach, bananas, grated ginger and a pinch of saffron? Or if you want to boost your desire, try Omega 3. So how you do that is you get pan-seared wild salmon with steamed asparagus, Personally, I think that might have other consequences, but that's neither here nor there. You can heighten your passion with potatoes. Get it on with vitamin D. I know. You're welcome. You're welcome. All part of RTÉ's public service remit. So what I want to know is, what food has peppered up your love life? It's a Monday. Please do share with me. 51551. Brenda, the stacking of the dishwasher, enough said. Claire in Dublin. Claire, we've only got till 4:30, but this is a topic I am very experienced on. And it's still going to this day, over 20 years of marriage, and he still doesn't rinse down the plates, the bowls, clean out the cups when you put them in the dishwasher. He just doesn't. And every time he does, I have to empty it out again. And I say it each and every time. It just hasn't gone away. And he hasn't learnt. Of course, there is many other wonderful attributes, but that is one that is a massive bone of contention in my set. In fact, I remember one day he was emptying the dishwasher and I caught him. He didn't know I was looking. And he just took out the little tray with all the cutlery on it. And he opened out the drawer for the knives and forks. And he just flipped them all in. He didn't even separate the knives. Oh, I'm actually not feeling well. Sorry, I'm not feeling well. I'm starting to get stressed out. 51551, help me out here. And speaking of food, from pizzas to smoothies, 10 delicious ways to cook Brussels sprouts. Don't wait until Christmas. How about this? I eat Brussels sprouts, but I actually only eat them Christmas Day unless I buy one of those takeaway dinners from the Eurospar or the Centra. Don't knock them. They're really gorgeous, especially the one in my local Eurospar in Kill. But they often have sprouts in them. That's the only time I have sprouts, Christmas Day and then. But you can have sprout pizza if you fancy it. And that's a flatbread rather than a pizza. So there's no tomato sauce, just cheese, onion, Brussels sprouts. I don't know. And you can have sprout smoothies. They might boost your you know what. Yeah. So you could have that. Green smoothies, of course, very popular at the moment. So you can throw some sprouts into your smoothies. And how about this? It sounds horrible. Maybe it is horrible. I don't know. Have you ever had it? Vanilla ice cream with flakes of blended sprout. However, 2 years ago, a Scottish ice cream parlour began serving minted Brussels sprouts ice cream, which proved it's a good idea. The owner described the ice cream as very sprouty, which, as we all know, is the highest compliment that anybody can pay. So have you other ways of eating sprouts? Let us know. 51551. Oh, I'm exhausted after that. Oh, there was a little thread on Twitter and I only saw some of it, but I liked it. It's about nicknames. And we were talking about nicknames. And do men have more nicknames than women? I'm not quite sure, because especially boys in class and that, they tend to call each other nicknames, Dazzler or whatever. Jamie, who's on sound here today. Hi, Jamie. He tells me his nickname is Jam Pops. Ah, that's quite nice, Jam Pops. That actually is quite nice. But anyway, people were putting in the different nicknames and why they were called the nicknames. But here's one or two of them. Of course, I'm looking for yours as well, 51551. And this one said, a lad in our class had a scar on his forehead. We used to call him Ash Wednesday. Boom. That's quite nice. But this is my favourite nickname I have heard yet. And please do try and beat this one. The lads used to play football with a guy called End of May. Everybody called him June. Do you get it? End of May, June. Oh, never mind. Brenda, you don't need to rinse dishes going into the dishwasher. Just scrape the waste food off them. I disagree. Absolutely disagree. You have to, if you have beans or minced meat or pesto, it doesn't always come off. And maybe I'm doing it wrong. If you know how to do it, get back in touch and let me know. Send us a quick text, 51551. Well, as I said, we have lots on the show. We have our quiz, but more importantly, we want to hear from you. Lots of things to talk about. What foods get you in the mood? Also, we have Conor Pope coming up a little bit later on. But right now, a little bit of music. Stevie Wonder and Superstition. Yay, Stevie Wonder there and Superstitious. Hi, it's not recommended the plate should be rinsed before being placed in the dishwasher. It's better if there is friction with some food. Thank you very much. See, we're learning something new every single day on the show. That's the thing that always amazes me. You always pick up something after you do the Ray Darcy show that you can take home with you and provide for a better home life. Well, what a day. Hi, Brenda. I roast sprouts with a little chard when soft toss in a little honey and balsamic vinegar. What am I like today? Delicious, said Anne in Portlaoise. Well, of course, yesterday was such a massive day in the GAA with Cavan and Monaghan in full flight. Well, coming up after the break, we have Cavan's finest, the Tully twins from Gogglebox, and Tipperary's finest, the two Johnnies.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda Donoghue in here for Ray today. And just on nicknames, there's a guy in my workplace nicknamed Bungalow. I asked him one day why the name. Politely, he told me nothing upstairs. Haha, said Mick in a thigh. Hi, Brenda. When we were kids, we had a vegetable man who sold the veg from his van, and he was known as Sprouts, says Francis O'Neill. Keep it coming in. 51551. Well, Tipperary put on an amazing performance at Parky Queeve yesterday to see off Cork and win the Munster senior football final. So for the first time since 1935, needless to say, the entire county of Tipperary was celebrating, and none more so than the proud sons of Tipperary, the two Johnnies. Johnny B, how are you?
We're on top of the world, Brenda. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm delighted for you because I love the Tipperary fans, especially the football fans. Where did you watch the match?
Oh, we were at home in the sitting room.
Together?
On the big screen, just screaming at it.
Mm. Were you together?
No, I was in my house and Johnny Smacks was in his house. I think we were... A very tough weekend. You know, the two Johnnies, Brenda, were always working. So we tried to relax a little bit Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have been good for your stress level Sunday afternoon.
Oh, my God, I'm nearly hoarse after roaring at the telly. Like, Tipperary started so well. Straight from the word go. Colin O'Riordan only off the plane from Sydney. He's been training hard with the boys. He got the ball straight away, looked to go forward. Moved it into the big man from Ballyporeen. Tip got a mark. They had a point scored within the first minute. We were flying.
And tell me, Johnny B, what part of Tipperary are you from? Would you define it as the hurling or the football? And what is your? I know you're big in the hurling, and your family make hurleys and all that. But I mean, you know, where did the football come into your life?
Well, I'm from Kerr in the south of the county. We would be an equal opportunities county. So, yeah, our club would be kind of 50-50. But I suppose the south would have more senior football teams than the mid or the north and that. Johnny Smacks is from North Tipperary. Ross Gray, who I think... Do you even have a football club, Johnny?
We do have a football club, yeah. Johnny, thanks very much. Nine Rovers is the football club up there, and it's a small enough club, and it was gas yesterday to see all the emotion of the Tip players and people involved, and just thinking of my own club, Nine Rovers up there, like a couple of lads who've passed away in the past who were real football fundamentalists, you know. I think of Jimmy Cunningham and lads like that, and I think yesterday they were looking down on Tipperary for sure.
And hello, Johnny Smacks.
Hi, Brenda.
How are you doing?
Johnny B was taken over there. He wouldn't give me the phone.
Well, listen, come here. Were you wearing your special Tipperary underpants?
We were.
I mean, jersey.
Wearing our lucky Tipperary underpants. We had our green and white Tipperary jerseys on yesterday. A magical day. We a long time coming for Tip.
And Colm O'Riordan, you mentioned him there, Colin O'Riordan. He was fantastic. And you met him in Australia when you were filming.
Yeah, we were out there. We were on tour and doing some shows. And we done a show in Sydney and we met Colin after. You know, those Tipperary people, we all like to stick together. And he brought us for a tour of this stadium in Sydney where they play and stuff like that. And it was unbelievable. But even talking to him, that was back in January. And he was always asking about Tipperary. And, you know, he kept up to date with all the results. And you can tell he's a proud Tipperary man. And you could tell that yesterday. He had me bawling anyway at the television when he gave his interview after the game.
I know, it was amazing. And can you remember, can you both just take me back? You know when the referee blew the whistle and it was there, you were now the actual Munster champions in football, particularly since you'd had the day before when you lost to Ireland. But that was that moment. Can you just talk me through it?
You'd be so proud of the people involved, really. Like you said, you know, a lot of eyes were on the hurling match the day before, but there's so many people in Tip coaching football underage, and there's so many people playing it. And I think of those guys like the captain. Sure, he's only out the road in Ballyporeen there. And I think the last time we played them in club football, Johnny Smacks tried to take his head off. Like, you know, these are just normal guys that you meet from around the place, from whether they're from Clonmel or Ballyporeen or Kilsheelan or West Tipperary, and like they dedicate their lives to it. And maybe they're not on the telly, or it's not quite as glamorous as maybe they haven't had the success with the hurling team, but like they put in the same effort, and it's. For those lads, you could see what it meant to them. And, you know, you'd be so happy for them. And there was a man playing midfield from our own club here, Liam, as we call him, the Bishop Casey. And I'm actually wearing a T-shirt now that the boys in the club have made up for Liam Casey. Someone has photoshopped Liam into a field of cows, and he's wearing a fat cap and he's kicking a pint because he's from Sam. So I sent him on a photograph this morning. And he just said to me, "Where in the name of God are you pulling all these T-shirts out of?" So it's for them boys, Brenda, you'd be so happy. Because Tip have been coming and coming. Like the first game this year, I thought they looked really good against Clare. And then against Limerick in the Munster semi-final, they nearly got caught. You know, it was a last-minute spectacular free from the captain, Conor Sweeney. And then Limerick had a mark right in front of goal, and he ballooned it wide. And I was so relieved for the boys, you know. But my thoughts are with Tomás O'Shea, who was sounded absolutely sickened. He shouldn't just be happy for us, Tomás. Come on.
I know, yeah. Make him say I'm happy. That's all we want to do. Come here. The last time I saw you, you were on Venice Beach in... I wasn't there, sadly, but you were on Venice Beach in LA. And now you've a book coming out. I mean, my goodness, you are taking on the world, really.
Yeah. We're taking on the world and getting away with it, more importantly, Brenda. Yeah, I know. Look, things have been great, and it's good to be on talking about such a good news story with Tipperary, because the people at Tipperary are dead important to us. We're proud to be from Tip, and people from Tip have always been so supportive of us as well, especially as the two Johnnies, and we're really grateful for that too. So it's good that we can all celebrate and we have something to shout about.
What's your book called again?
Come here and I tell you, A Guide to Irish Life. If people want to buy that, that's also supporting Tipperary.
Yeah.
And me and Johnny.
Well, yeah, support Tipperary. Yeah, anyway. Guys, stay there, will you? Because it's not just yourselves who are jumping up and down and wearing your T-shirts and the Tipperary underpants and everything. Because after 23 years, Cavan won the Ulster Championship with their historic victory over Donegal. And I was thinking about it when they won, and I thought, it's a pity Gogglebox isn't on, because I would love to see the reaction of the Tully twins when they won, because I know they're diehard GAA fans. And they're here as well. We have Fergal and we have Neil. Fergal, congratulations, and to everybody up in Cavan. Great news.
Come on the Blues.
Come on the Blues.
Great day. Great day. Great. I'm still 23 years ago, I went to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And you haven't got up.
And this year I went to bed at 11:30.
Go away.
And just twittered all night.
And tell me about your experience of watching the match. Where were you? Who were you with? How did you feel at that moment when the whistle went, the final whistle?
I was with the wife and kids. And the wife, she's a biffo, you know. And yeah. I thought, you know, but...
That's me, is it? No.
No, Offaly.
Offaly, even worse.
She's
on,
a beautiful,
anyway.
beautiful, intelligent female from Offaly.
Yeah.
So she was sitting beside me and she screamed the whole way through. And I said nothing because I got my heart broken so many times, Brenda.
Mm.
And I expected to be doing the same. And my son the same way. My eldest son is the same way. Oh, we're not going to win. Because I don't want to get his heart broken. But by when that final whistle went, we went jumping around the room. I think we are the champions on repeat for about 2 hours or so after. But,
do you know a colleague of mine, Damien O'Reilly, who actually wears his Cavan jersey into work on many an occasion?
Yeah, no, Damien.
I have a WhatsApp of him jumping up and down when the final whistle went, and I promise I'll never send it to anybody, ever. I will never do that. But amazing. And what about you, Neil? Where did you watch it?
I watched it in an apartment in Dublin.
It's a pity we weren't together.
Yeah, no, well... Because the lockdown, I'm in Dublin and work in Dublin, and Fergal works in Cavan, so we could be. It was disappointing, yeah, but it was such an emotional match. It was like up and down. It was fantastic, and you have to give it to them, especially the subs, because you know they're uncounted for. You know, they sit on the bench, and one with the bench like myself for years, smoking 10 carols. You know, it's been. I've got a nickname for you.
Swear. Oh yeah, go ahead.
I was at a match a couple of months ago, and they were all shouting "Chili, Chili, Chili." And I said, "Why are you calling him Chili?" "Oh, that's his father over there, Con Carney."
That's very good. And do you think, right, this means to the people of Cavan? Can you actually put it into words? Because we've all seen the joy, but we didn't, you know, because we don't have full stadiums or anything like that. It's hard to get that sense of actually what it means.
It means a lot, because when you look at, I'm a hard man, I think I am, anyway. But
I'm going to ask you to prove that in a minute, but go on anyway.
Most men, after the final whistle from Cavan, I'd say they shed a tear. They had to have, because it was so emotional. It was, oh my God, I was jumping on the sitting room. I think my neighbours thought I was baiting somebody up or something, because I was shouting that much, but it was so emotional, and I can guarantee you, the hardest man in Cavan would have shed a tear when Mickey Graham done the interview after.
I know.
BBC.
It was just amazing. And you've a connection with the team, Fergal, is that right?
Who is a connection with the team?
Have you a connection with the team?
No, there's a guy I work with. His nephew plays for the team.
Oh, sure.
And he's
the most pessimistic
supporter I've ever come across.
Really?
His uncle. ISIS and Friday, we're going to win. No, we're not, to be a feckin' Egypt. Ah, your nephew plays. He's no good either. You know, and this morning he's a different man. Oh, we're going to win all Ireland. You know, we've a lot of pessimistic supporters in Cavan.
And speaking of which, if any of the players are listening today,
yeah,
will you tell me what you want to say to them? Say the panel were right there in front of you. What would you say to them?
Go win all Ireland.
Yeah. Well, you have.
I often said this. I die a happy man if I see Cavan win all Ireland, and then someone says to me, "You'll live forever." So,
but of course you have just a little matter of Mayo next week. Is that right?
Oh, Dublin.
Jeez, what am I thinking? Yeah, Dublin. Of course. Yeah, Dublin. That'll be fun.
I want every Cavan supporter out there to put their flags out. And I'm in disgrace. I couldn't find. I have a big, massive Cavan flag. I could not find it this weekend. So say that I get my lawnmower out.
And I'm going. Yeah,
Hon Cavan, and in HONCAVAN, in Milan, moved into Milan.
And Johnny B, can I go back to Tipperary?
Yes.
Johnny, how are you going to do against Mayo then?
Well, the Cavan Dublin game is on the day before, so at least we'll know who we're playing in the final.
Yeah.
I know, look, like the same. We have to ask the Tip people now, put out the flags. Whether it's the blue and gold or the green and white, get them out and try to support the boys. Because, look, the last time these teams met in an All-Ireland quarter-final, was it? A couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Tip really rattled them. And I think Tip are even better now. Now, Mayo have probably better forwards than Cork have. But I have no problem saying I think these Tip boys are going to do it.
The momentum is with them. Johnny Smacks, can you congratulate the Cavan fans, please?
Yeah, I'm thrilled for the Cavan men. We're good friends with a Cavan man who owns the Boar's Head in Dublin. And do you know what? It's just as well the place wasn't open last night, because I don't know what it'd be standing this morning.
Yeah, that's true too.
So congrats to all the lads up in Cavan, and congrats to the two boys. We like watching them on the telly, and they didn't desecrate our show when it was shown on Gogglebox either, and we just want to thank them for that.
That was edited out.
And Neil, will you congratulate the Tipperary fans for me?
Congratulate Tipperary fans, are lovely people. Yeah. We'll hopefully meet them in the final and kick their deep off them.
Well, listen,
it'd be great to see Tip and Cavan in the final.
Well, if that happens, we'll have to have you all again. It is great talking to you all. Good luck with the book, the two Johnnies. Good luck with Tipperary and the Tully twins. I'm so happy to talk to you. If I'm ever on the telly, on the Today Show, and you're reviewing me, only say fabulous things.
Will do.
Of course.
All right. Up Cavan, up Tip.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thanks a million,
bye.
Brenda.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, over the next few weeks, a booklet will be delivered to every household in Ireland. It's called Keeping Well This Winter. It's a guide produced by the HSC to help us navigate the winter, COVID and restrictions. So to tell us more, I'm joined by Sarah O'Brien, and she is the National Lead for Healthy Eating and Active Living Programme with the HSC, and Anne Sheridan, who is the Programme Manager for Mental Health and Wellbeing with the HSC. Hello to you both. Thank you so much for talking to me today. First of all, Anne, if I can come to you. It's a winter like no other. People have really a lot to contend with. I think you'd agree with that first and foremost.
Oh, yeah, I would, Brendan. Thanks very much. It's lovely to chat with you. But yeah, it's a winter, as you say, that we've never had before. And I think that there's been a lot of kind of understanding and awareness just of, I think, the general impact that COVID-19 has had for all of us, I think, in terms of our mental health and well-being. You know, I think the first, back in March when we had the first level of restrictions, that was quite a novelty time for everybody. I think it was the first time it was happening. But, you know, other things were happening as well. Like the weather was good. We were moving into longer days. Summer was coming. And even Zoom was a novelty. So even in terms of keeping in touch and staying connected, we got used to all of that. But I think, you know, there's been a lot of wear and tear even since then. But particularly now, I think it's a very different story this time around, in that, you know, the evenings are longer, the nights are longer, the weather is different, and just less opportunity to kind of get out and about. So, yeah, I think it's felt differently than even perhaps March was.
You know, it's funny, I was looking at the weather forecast on the news last night, and they said by Wednesday, you know, the temperatures during the day may only get up as far as 3-4 degrees. It's going to be very cold. You know, you just went, oh, God, no. And how important, you know, if you have a daily routine, something like that, bad weather, you can just knock it out completely. So I suppose how important is having a daily routine in a time when, in a way, all the days kind of merge into one? The weather's a bit, you'd always have the radio, of course, but the weather's just not great. It's not really conducive to getting out and about.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it can feel that a lot of things are out of our control at the moment. So I think that's why it's really important to take some stuff back into control and do what you can do. And I'm delighted to tell your listeners about a new programme that we launched, which will really help people around their mental health and well-being over this time. It's called Minding Your Wellbeing, and it's a series of 5 short videos. They're all available on if you go to yourmentalhealth.ie. But each video is about 20 minutes long, and each video deals with one element that's very important in terms of our mental health and well-being. And each video provides just practical tips and strategies for people just to help them get over this time. So to give you a flavour of just what the videos entail, so there's one session on self-care and just all the daily habits, including that idea that you had about just having a daily routine. So what we can build into our daily routine that would be really good for our mental health and well-being. There's a video on understanding our thoughts and just putting the spotlight on you know, how sometimes we get caught up in negative thinking and what we can do about that. Another one on exploring emotions and the importance of increasing positive emotions in our lives and ways that we can savour the good moments when they happen and how important that is. Another one on relationships, and staying connected is a very important message in the booklet that's just been launched. And so just noticing and nurturing the relationship that we have in our lives and what can help you to do that. And the final video is on resilience and really looking at how we can tune into just the strengths that we already have, because often we tend to pick up on maybe, you know, our weaknesses rather than our strengths. But so all of the combined videos, they last, each one, no more than 20 minutes. And they just give people, I think, will give a lot of your listeners some practical tips about what they can do to help themselves over these months.
And Anne, that's yourmentalhealth.ie?
Yourmentalhealth.ie is where the videos are.
All right, okay. And Sarah, you're there as well. Sarah O'Brien, you're on the food and exercise side of things. How are you?
I'm good.
The good part, the hard part, kind of what was in your head when you were asked to give advice on these topics when it comes to food and exercise? And, you know, we think we know it. We know it. But it's an, another thing doing it. So how do you kind of give advice and get in there?
Yeah, I think a couple of things, but I suppose just one thing to pick up on there when you were chatting to Anne, Brenda, you were talking about the weather and getting out and about and the weather being wet and cold, etc. I remember a long number of years ago, a public health nurse worked at down in Kerry when I was doing some training, said to me one time, there's no such thing as bad weather, there's just being bad clothing.
Yes.
So it's about kind of wrapping up, getting out the wellies, the waterproof clothes or the extra hat and scarf and gloves, and just walking out the door. Go 10 minutes in one direction and 10 minutes in the other, and you have 20 minutes done, and you come back in and you're a new person nearly. But I suppose that's when we were started looking at this with our colleagues. Like, we knew that from talking to people, like our patients and service users, but also ourselves, the work colleagues and family and friends, that people were struggling with different aspects of routine, of what we were eating, of being physically active across the whole first 6 months of the year, and that coming into the winter again, then it was going to be harder, even though we had some routines coming back, like back to school, back to work, back to creche and stuff. It helped a little bit. But it is that bit that, yeah, we eat every day, we're up and we're moving around every day, and it's just in the background an awful lot of the time. And sometimes we need to just bring our attention to what we're eating, what kind of activity we're doing, how much we're sitting and not moving and starting to do something around it. Because when you're doing it to some extent mindlessly or not thinking about it, you don't realise what kind of habits you're slipping into. And then when you know that you need to do something, if you're maybe not sleeping so well or you're not feeling so great in yourself, sometimes you think, well, maybe really, will going out for a walk make a difference to how I'm feeling? Will cutting out the extra sugary drinks make a difference? Because it all sounds so ordinary, and as I say, we do know it, but it does definitely make a difference. And it takes there's a little bit of planning involved in some of it, in particular around our eating habits and that, making time to, before you do the shop on a Saturday or a Friday, think about what meals you're going to plan for the week and ensure that you get the ingredients in. It doesn't have to be a huge or really expensive shop. There's, once you get plenty of variety in terms of vegetables and fruit in there and some meat, that is really helpful. And having kind of frozen vegetables is really good as well to have in the freezer that you can just pop in to a dish on an evening as you're making it. And as well as that, kind of a little bit of planning in advance. Like, I know people, if you're have out and about with after school activities to some extent, if you have kids, or if there's only one or two of you.
Small amount of after school activities now, sadly.
I know, but they actually do still add up in terms of time, I find.
I know.
But even like if there's only one or two people living at home, you know, it can be very hard to kind of be cooking big meals when there's only two of you and you don't want to be eating the same dish 3 days in a row. Freezing it down and popping it in the freezer is a great option. Like, you have it there for the following week or 2 weeks' time when you feel like having your chili con carne again.
I just want to ask you both very, very quickly, when these arrive in people's homes, keep them well this winter, what do you want people to take from it, or how do you think it will help them?
I suppose.
Anne, go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, I think that it's got lots of practical information in it, which I think will be very helpful, all in one place. So I think that's always helpful. From my point of view, I would really like people to realise that, look, if they're feeling a bit under the weather, that's pretty normal. So, you know, don't be beating yourself up about that. And maybe just think about small steps that you can take to try to mind your mental health. I think the important thing is to do it with intention. And the more than what Sarah was saying there, that we can all fall into habits kind of without even, you know, knowing that we're doing that. But to
to bring some intention back into your life in terms of every day just thinking of something really positive you will do for your self-care. I read something over the weekend which I thought was lovely, this idea of going to those places where COVID is not. And that's those places where you lose yourself. You know, where you're in a good book or where you're cooking a meal that you really want to do, where you are listening to music or where you're watching a football match, as you were chatting about earlier on. You know, to really seek those kind of situations out where you lose yourself. And then notice that you're doing that and notice the feeling you have, because that's building that sense of positive emotion, and that's really going to help.
Well, look at Anne Sheridan, Sarah O'Brien. Thank you so much for talking to me today and to let people know, keeping it well this winter. It'll be going to every household in Ireland. And just tips for your physical and your mental health as to how to keep well this winter. Keep well, both of you. And again, thanks for talking to
me. Thanks, Brenda.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, and it's Brenda Donoghue in here today, 51551. Now, with all the talk of restrictions being lifted and Black Friday happening this week, who better than Conor Pope to untangle the confusion for us? Good afternoon, Conor.
How are you, Brenda? How are you getting on?
I'm not too bad. Restrictions, what do we know about the easing of restrictions as of now?
Well, there's going to be a whole lot of meetings this week. The Cabinet are meeting a couple of times. There'll be meetings between the public health officials and the government. And what's expected now is that the reopening of all social and commercial life will happen in two stages. So there'll be a cautious lifting of some of the restrictions next week. We'll see retail opening, perhaps. We'll see all retail. We might see hairdressers and barbers and things like that opening. And then you might see restaurants reopening further down the tracks. Or you might see the restaurants opening next week, but it seems unlikely that the so-called wet pubs will be opening in the first wave of the reopenings, and possibly not even before Christmas. But those decisions have yet to be made yet by the government. But it's going to be a slow approach. And then the government is also considering maybe continuing to impose a ban or at least severe restrictions on household visits for multiple different households to try and kind of rein that in. So what you'd be looking at, if you want to talk about the numbers, you'd be looking at moving from level 5 to level 3 and a bit. So it would be like the level 3 that we all were living through 6 weeks ago, but maybe with some further enhancements, particularly on the restricted home visits, because, you know, it appears that that's where a lot of the new cases are coming from. So the government is kind of thinking, if we can just rein those in for a little while longer, then perhaps we can have something close to a normal Christmas, with the understanding that it's not going to be anything like the Christmases that we've had before. So there's not going to be people piling into pubs. There's not going to be mad house parties. There's not going to be dozens of people sitting in your kitchen or sitting in your living room or mingling in your house. That's not going to happen
or
this year.
Christmas,
and that's
going to
be
parties.
Really hard for an awful lot of people.
Yeah. Christmas
well,
parties,
all of that stuff is gone,
you know,
really. And
restaurants.
I think it's going to be extraordinarily difficult for an awful lot of these businesses, because restaurants might make as much as a third of their income in December. And you have all of these office parties, you have all of these friends coming together to meet. That's all going to be gone. But I think what people are really hoping for is if they can just have anything close to a normal Christmas, well, then we'll take that for this year. We'll get through this year. All of these different vaccines are coming on stream. So hopefully, you know, we can look forward to next Christmas and next summer as being a time when things finally get back to normal after what has been an unbearably long time for an awful lot of people.
Now, when Black Friday comes around, I actually get completely stressed, because you're there going, I should know what the deals are. Are they deals? Are they not deals? It's like there's so many. It's so hard to get your head around. I know where it comes from and all that, but just what's the best thing to do? So are there deals to be had, do you think, on Black Friday? And how do we kind of navigate the maze of deals that there are?
Well, yes and no is the answer to that question.
Okay.
And I appreciate that it's not very helpful, Brenda. But every year, Which is this big consumer magazine in the UK. And every year they track the prices of products before and after Black Friday and then on the Black Friday weekend to find out whether or not the deals really do offer the best prices. And their most recent report from last week found that 95% of the discounts on Black Friday last year were available for the same price or cheaper in the 6 months after the sales, or what? And then 61% of the deals were also available for cheaper before the sales. So does that answer your question? In a way, it's kind of an artificial creation of retailers to try and stimulate demand, because the thing is, they put up these big banner prices saying, you know, amazing discount on your fridge or your telly or whatever it might be. But the reality is, if you just take a deep breath, you'll be able to get the same deal on that fridge or on that telly in 6 weeks' time or in 3 months' time or in 6 months' time. So my top tip for anybody shopping in any sale period, and it doesn't matter if it's Black Friday, yeah, Cyber Monday, the winter sales, the summer sales, if you don't need the thing, it doesn't matter how much it costs, you're wasting your money. So if you don't actually need a new telly, buying a new telly for 200 quid is still a waste of 200 quid when you could keep your old telly. So that's the first thing I'd say. Now, having said that, some retailers do offer discounts. And if you do need a fridge or a couch or whatever it might be, and you are getting it at what seems like a good price, by all means, buy it. But I do know, having spoken to a lot of retailers in this part of the world, is they hate Black Friday because they are all put under pressure to offer discounts at a time of year when people are more than happy to spend money, because this is the time when people spend money. And suddenly, because of what the Walmart-owned Asda did in the UK 10 years ago, or 8 or 9 years ago, suddenly they all have to go into sale before Christmas. And some retailers I've spoken to have said, listen, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go down the Black Friday route because it's not fair to us as a business. Our customers aren't demanding it. And then I've come across an awful lot of retailers, particularly small and independent retailers, who are saying, do you know what? We're not going to offer Black Friday deals, but if you shop with us over the Black Friday weekend, we'll donate 10% to a charity, or we'll donate this money to, you know, we'll give money to somebody who needs it. Like, for instance, I just came around, this is just one store. It's a place called Finders Keepers in Kilkenny. Lovely shop. And they said that they're going to give 10% of their sales over the course of the Black Friday period to a women's refuge, I think. So that kind of altruistic approach, I think, is nice in the times that we're living in, because it's not necessarily then putting pressure on retailers, because let's face it, the last thing retailers need now is more pressure. They're already on their knees as a result of COVID and as a result of widespread shutdowns for months and months. So, you know, maybe we could ease off on trying to eke out the last cent out of these people, particularly the local and the indigenous retailers, in the weeks ahead, and maybe shop with a little bit more social purpose and social solidarity.
You know what? You make me feel better. You make me feel like I'm not missing out, Connor. I know you're writing today, the big G, buying guaranteed Irish products is more important than ever. That's your article in today's Irish Times. It's always great to catch up and to talk to you. And that's a message I think is really getting through to people, and they're doing it in their droves.
100%.
Connor, thank you so much. You'll talk to Ray, I think, next week. Always a pleasure. But in this session, I'm the priest Gelta Nanuakta, Lamora de Wallish. Gormila Mahagut Mora. Now, it is time, and I'm so excited, for the quiz. Oh, the quiz. Woohoo! Yes, it is time for the quiz of the day. And remember, we have that fabulous prize for one listener to win, and that is a break to the Riverlea Hotel in Cork. A Doyle Collection Hotel, and they're going to have their breakfast each morning and a dinner on an evening of their choosing. They can hang out in Cork and just have great fun. You might see Dahi O'Shea wandering around there, just coming out of the Today Studios. An awful lot to be done. Something to look forward to. But who's going to win? Will it be Jeremiah Lochnan? Hello, Jeremiah. How are you?
Hello, how are things?
I'm fantastic. Tell me all about yourself, Jeremiah. Hold back on nothing.
All right. Yeah, I'm Jeremiah from Cavan. I'm in the Defence Forces the last 20 years.
You're ticking every box here. Keep going.
I have two kids, a boy 16 and a girl 12. Mm-hmm. Currently disappointed that both of them were sent to school today because of Cavan's mighty victory in Ulster yesterday.
Yeah, but there'd be great crack in the school.
Mighty crack, yeah.
And I presume, sure, they're a bit old for the no homework thing, but do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no. Look, we're out celebrating. There was a parade in Cavan Town yesterday after the victory, and it was a car parade, and the kids were over the moon, and they were beeping the horns and passing the team. The team were on the stage at Breffni Park, and there was thousands upon thousands of cars.
And were you there, Jeremiah?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. I was driving, bunking the horn.
Were you?
Yeah.
And so obviously great. And we were talking to the Tully
twins. I know the Tully boys well.
Do you?
I do.
Maybe
indeed.
You can tell me about them. And it must mean so much. I mean, just for your children to see it. I mean, I've often thought, I look at my little fella, he's 11, and I've often thought, wouldn't it be amazing for him? Well, you have Dublin, but see Kildare do well in the Leinster Championship. Like, what would that mean? What hope would that give them to follow the team as they keep going forward and keep up the bit of GAA? It must be great for your kids.
Ah, it's absolutely wonderful. Like, both my kids, like, play local Gaa for Cavan Gaels, my daughter, and my son actually plays for a rival team, Ballyhales. So, like, you know, and so my son was actually in the minor final this year, and to lose the minor final, and it was so disappointing. And then to see Cavan do what they've done, and like 97, like I was only 15, and when Cavan won yesterday, and he was just over the moon, it just makes him want to drive on and play more football. And my daughter, she was wired to the moon after. She couldn't believe what was going on in the town, and like, it was scenes of joy, happiness, everyone wanted to hug everyone but couldn't, if you know what I mean.
I know, but you know what, it's funny because so much is suppressed during this level five in terms of seeing people, the hugging, you know, the things that normally bring you joy, whether it's going to the cinema, all that. So much has been suppressed. To get that release of joy must have been fantastic.
Oh,
I'm slightly envious. I hope you can get that sense.
Oh, yeah. I was watching the game with my partner and her daughter, actually. She's Lauren. She I was jumping around the place like an eagle, and they were saying, what sort of a psycho is this man? But like, at the end of the game, they're all joys as well, and it was just,
yes,
it was just
all,
great. It was just great for
good.
The county of Cavan. Like, you know, it was such doom and gloom there the last month with the big numbers and, you know, people not being able to go outside and, you know, checkpoints, and then all of a sudden this big lift for the county.
Amazing. Tell me, what are you doing in the army? Where are you based?
I'm based in McKee Barracks, basically. I'm over the gym in McKee, physical fitness instructor.
Okay. So you don't do that kind of big survival program, do you?
No. I'd be basically doing the fitness testing in the barracks here. You know, we do an annual fitness testing, so I'll be in charge of that. Mm. And then we have the gym, so we'd be running circuits and training days in the gym.
Well done, well done. And tell you who you're up against now for this fabulous trip. You are up against a Cork woman, Nullag Murphy. Good afternoon, Nullag.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm
you
very doing, good. Where in Cork are you?
I'm down in East Cork, Brenda, in Ladiesbridge.
Oh, I know Ladiesbridge. What's her name lives there? She does the programme. She's a really beautiful person.
Oh, Karen.
Karen Donoghue. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, a lovely village. And I was in the allotment there in Ladiesbridge. Tell me about yourself. You're busy at home today with everybody?
Yeah, I'm busy at home. I have four children, so I'm full-time at home. And my two teens are just on their way back from school, I'd say, with my husband. And my twins are inside doing their homework.
Oh, you twins. Twin girls, yeah. Boys?
Boy, girl, seven-year-olds.
Okay. And tell me, your teens in school, very hard with the masks all day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very hard. Like, it is for the, I think, the two different dynamics. There's the first year, and she's loving being in first year, but it's just so different trying to get to know people with a mask and it's on all day. Mm. And then the third year at that age, you're kind of getting a bit more freedom and stuff. So there's not an awful lot of places to go. And we do live out in the countryside. So going into town is a big trek kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So,
what's for tea?
For roast chicken today.
Oh, stop.
Yeah,
can I come down?
You're very welcome.
With the potatoes, and what veg have you got with it?
I've got carrots and cauliflower and stuffing and sausage meat, actually, I got, which I love, which I don't usually have with my roast, but I do today.
Oh, that sounds really nice and interesting. Well, I think I'll drop down to Ladiesbridge, Nullag, of course, named after
You're
Christmas.
Very, very welcome. Yes. 6th of January, Little Women's Christmas.
Oh, wow. I thought that was the 8th of January.
No, the 6th.
Okay. I'll let you correct me then. And I presume you'd love a breakaway from the children at some stage.
Oh, I wouldn't mind it, but we might. Yeah, it would be lovely.
Yes, I can imagine.
They're listening now, so not too much, but it would be just for one of the nights. Maybe.
Yeah, just a break from, as you, the dishwashers, the uniforms, the four lunches,
exactly.
The four dinners, the four breakfasts.
The lunches are the killer, yeah.
The lunches are the killer. I'm trying to teach my young fella to do his own, but anyway, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. Are you ready to do this quiz?
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry, Jeremiah, can I get it again? You're from Cavan. You've just won. Are you ready to do the quiz?
Yeah, yeah.
Yay.
Sorry, yours wasn't convincing. Once more, Nullag, are you ready to do the quiz?
Yay!
All right, you know the whole idea. It's based on this day over many different topics. So we're going to start off with you, Jeremiah.
Okay.
Question number one. Okay. On this day in 1946, the Workers' Party of South Korea was founded. On what continent is South Korea? As quick
Asia.
As you can. Asia, correct. Well done. And for you, Nullag. On this day in 2008, in the Davis Cup in tennis, Spain beat Argentina. On what continent is Argentina?
Oh, God. The European continent?
No.
No.
You're all right. Just keep calm. Keep calm. Okay, an audio question for you now, Jeremiah, okay? Have a listen to this, okay? Okay, so there you go. You have a theme tune. So on this day in 1943, Sue Nicholas, a British actor, was born. She played the part of Audrey Roberts in the long-running soap. You heard the theme tune from there. Can you name the soap? Well done. And I'm coming to you next now, Nullag. Now, that answer, by the way, the last one, Spain beat Argentina. What continent is Argentina? It is South of America, of course. So your next question is an audio clip as well. Have a listen to this, Nullag. So on this day in 2012, Larry Hagman, American actor, died aged 81. He played the part of J.R. Ewing in that series you heard the theme tune for. Can you name the series, Nullag?
Dallas.
Correct. Okay, third question for you coming up now, Jeremiah. On this day in 1963, which US president's body lay in repose in the East Room of the White House? He had been assassinated the previous day in Dallas. Do you need the question again?
JFK.
JFK is correct. You're flying it there. 3 out of 3. Your question now, Nullag. Question number 3. On this day in 1977, which Andrew Lloyd Webber musical featuring songs as Superstar, The Crucifixion and The Last Supper opened for a run in New York?
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Who do you think you really are? I presume you know it, do you?
Kind of,
okay. Your fourth question, you're playing a stormer there. Jeremiah, yep. The next question is an audio clip. Have a listen to this. I came in like a wrecking ball. I never hit so hard in love. All I wanted was to break your walls. All you ever did was wreck me. Yeah, you Yes, so can you name that American actress and singer you heard there?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Jeremiah, you're doing...
My daughter would kill me if I didn't get that right.
Ah, she would. Okay, your next clip is an audio one as well. Now, look, have a listen to this. What do you mean? So, Nullag, can you name that Canadian singer who on this day in 2018 confirmed he had married American model Hayley Baldwin? Your kids will kill you if you don't get this,
Justin
by the way.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, okay. So, last question. You get this wrong, Jeremiah. She gets it right. We go to a kind of a dead-end tie-break thing. You get it right, you know yourself. Okay, so here we go. Your last question, Jeremiah, for that amazing trip to Cork. Can you name the British author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and the BFG who died at 74 on this day in 1990?
Is it Roald Dahl?
It is. That's 5 out of 5. Guess what?
Congratulations, Jeremiah.
Thanks very much.
Will I ask you the last question just for the sake of it, Nullag?
Oh, do.
Okay, go on. Sorry about this. Well, on this day in 2016, Andrew Sachs, German-born British actor, died at age 86. He was best known for playing the Spanish waiter Manuel.
Fawlty Towers.
So you would have known. You just missed it by one.
Unlucky.
All right. Well, look.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll give you a mug, Nola. Is that okay?
Oh, thank you.
All right. And look, enjoy the dinner there with the roast chicken and the whole lot, and give all the kids a big hug because you can give your kids a hug. Is that all
thanks,
right?
Brilliant. Thanks, Brenda.
Thanks, Nola. Jeremiah.
Thank you.
Guess what you win.
Go on.
The trip to the Riverlea Hotel in Cork. So, Cavan are on a roll everywhere today.
Yeah, they are, surely. That's great. That's fantastic.
All right, can I get a jump up and down and an up, Cavan?
Hey, up, Cavan!
I love it. We'll take a break. Congratulations, Jeremiah.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, and it's Brenda here, 51551. Hi, Brenda. We were talking about nicknames a little bit earlier. I worked in a hospital and our head laundry person was known as Mr. Suds. Okay, fair enough. My friends call me Cinders, which is short for Cinderella, as I can't stay up after midnight, says Garode. Okay, Garode. And thank you, Catherine, for this. I totally agree with Brenda. Everything needs to be rinsed before it goes in the dishwasher. And I think I need to calm down after the excitement of the quiz. And who better to do it for me than Dermot Kennedy and Giants? Oh, Dermot Kennedy there and Giants. Now, I got a phone call a couple of weeks ago. I remember it was a Saturday. I was sitting at home and I wasn't expecting the call. I looked at the name and went, that's weird. I hope everything's okay. But after the call, I felt a lot better. I felt genuinely uplifted. And it was from my next guest, who is no stranger to this programme. It is the one and only Roscommon barber, Paddy Joe Burke. Good afternoon, Paddy Joe.
Well, Brenda, it's lovely to talk to you and thanks very much for having me on your show, Brenda.
Not sorry, did you enjoy the football over the weekend?
I was just saying, Brenda, I know I'm on to talk about phone calls.
I know.
But the very first phone call I made this morning was to my great friend and neighbour, Michael Boyle from Coot Hill, Kevin, and he's living here in Ballymote beside me. And Muckle and 76,000 Kevin people woke up this morning to hear it loud in their ear on a Monday morning. Kevin, Ulster football Ulster champions, senior football champions for 2020. What a ring that has to all the Kevin people. And Tipperary, Kevin hadn't won since 1997. Tipperary hadn't won since 1935. And they are Munster senior football champions. And well done to the two of them. And just two things, Brenda. Going back to Kevin.
I've only got to have four, Paddy.
But imagine Kevin won their Ulster title on the anniversary of one of their greatest footballers, the gallant John Joe. And Tipperary, the famous history, the famous jersey, and all the win footed. Wasn't that very significant? And congrats to both counties.
And listen, we have to say Mayo and Dublin as well. I know there's an expectation there and this is all new, but there's so many amazing Dublin Mayo fans. I don't want to just, you know, they might be getting Paddy Joe, maybe they prefer the less said the better. Do you know what I'm saying?
But it was Tipperary and Kevin's day yesterday.
Listen,
so like Dublin and Mayo, of course they have a lot to do and they'll have a lot to say and their day is coming. But yesterday, no GAA fan all over the world could take it from Kevin and Tipperary.
No.
And well done to both of them.
Listen, tell everybody why you called me and I'm not alone and what you said and what you're doing, Paddy Joe.
Well, I'll tell you now, Brenda, we went into level 5 back there early on in the summer and it was exciting. You know when you be self-employed and not used to a lot of time off.
Mm.
I was excited going into it. But second time round in the day, you know, where the lawns was cut and the hedges was trimmed and the house was painted and there wasn't an awful lot to do on the long evenings. And I always say, Brenda, the second mug of tea is never as nice as the first. Second time round, I thought the virus had gone away. I thought we'd be out of it. And to tell you the truth, I was a little bit more frightened of myself.
Mm.
And then I said, I picked up my phone and I was looking at a few numbers. And I said, you know what? Who will I ring? And I went through all my numbers, or a lot of them, and I said, God, I have people in this phone that I haven't spoken to in a long, long time. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start off now. Queen I am at home until December the 1st, and I'm going to phone every number in my phone. Just to phone up and say hello, how are you? With no hidden agenda, looking for nothing, only just hello, how are you getting on? And the response has been amazing, Brenda.
So when you talked to me, you said, I'm not holding you up, this is 90 seconds, just to say, we'll get through this, we'll come out the other side, and how are you doing yourself? Wasn't that the call, if I'm correct? You kept saying 90 seconds, I'm not holding you up.
Exactly, because you'd be, you know, when a stranger would phone you now and you'd be weary of them, and the phone calls was very tentative, you'd phone up, because I got a sight of messages more so than I would have all the names, but I got a sight of text messages there back, you know, from after Roscommon winning and work and all of that, and you wouldn't know who sent you the text message, so you wouldn't know the name, so I'd be dialing the number, and it was very tentative at the beginning. It was nearly like dancing with someone that wouldn't be interested in you, Brenda, you know, you'd have to ease into it, and then when you get into it, and when they realise that you weren't trying to sell them something, sometimes you'd have a job to get off the phone. Like, it was absolutely amazing, the response.
I can't believe that with you, Paddy Joe. Listen, when you talk to some people, and I know I'm thinking of you in your shop and in Roscommon, I'm sure there are people, you know, maybe slightly elderly who might be living in a rural and isolated setting. Did you find that? What did you find when you spoke to them?
I'll tell you what I found, Brenda. There's a great level of freedom when you're speaking to someone and they have the anonymity that they don't really know you fully. And it's amazing as a result of that, where it'll take them, they'll open up, and you'll hear all sorts of personal stories, you'll hear good ones, you'll hear sad ones, it's amazing when people open up. And I'm blown away by what I discovered. The greatest gift we can give to one another, Brenda, is our ear. The greatest gift. Now, I was very conscious not to phone up to be ticking numbers off. I would phone up and I would let the phone call take its course. If they wanted to talk, and I wasn't just phoning up for the sake of phoning up. I was phoning up to listen to who I was talking to. And I became acutely aware that there's an awful lot of people and they have nobody to talk to, nobody to listen. And I'm just saying, we all need to be conscious of the greatest gift we can give to one another is our ear and our time. And actually, that's what I have learned.
Do you know what, Paddy Joe? You've just reminded me of, you know, the good morning services that most counties have, where they take you have volunteers who are trained and they ring people and say, how are you doing? And just check in on them. I think that's the most wonderful service, and it's so important right now. So to all the volunteers and all the different good morning services around the country, we say a massive thank you and thumbs up.
Just before I go, Brenda, could I say one thing?
We'll do it quickly now, Paddy, because I have drive time, and you know.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show. No. But a lovely friend of mine, she sent me 3 Christmas cards here in Roscommon. And I'm going to get back into the habit of sending Christmas cards. In the dim and distant past in Ireland, when we had very little, all of us sent Christmas cards all around the world. And I'm going to go back now. We got a bit of affluence and we got too busy to send the Christmas card. And I'm going to send, I was out walking there now and I was thinking of all the people that I know that's living alone. And I'm going to drop them a card at this Christmas. And our family and friends overseas, and it would be nice to get back into that habit. You'd never be sorry for having sent a card, Brenda. You might be often sorry for not having sent one.
Now, okay, you're looking forward to getting back to work as quick as you can, Paddy.
I am. I'm really looking forward to getting back into the barber shop, getting the man back in the chair. I love the man in the chair. I love listening to him here, how he gets on, the wonderful stories, and I'm so looking forward to that and the run into Christmas. It'll be just magical. And I wish everyone a happy and a peaceful Christmas, and keep safe. And if we do the right thing for the few days that's left, all of us, we'll all have a nice Christmas with the help of God.
Well, you know what? Why I wanted to highlight what you did and the call that you made was, you know, for people out there to think, you know, a little bit of kindness and a little bit of thoughtfulness really goes a long way. And you're hearing amazing stories about things people are doing, calling nursing homes, writing letters, as you said, writing Christmas cards. Well, look, good luck when you get back into business. Lovely to talk to you again. Such a wonderful gesture. Paddy Joe, we'll catch up again.
Brenda, just before I go,
as quick as you can, Paddy Joe.
can I say hello to my beautiful wife, Maura? Thanks very much, Brenda.
You've just done it. Paddy Joe Burke, the Roscommon Barber there. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Everyone on the show, Jambo on sound, or Jam Pop on sound. Ray is back tomorrow. Sarah McInerney, Cormac O'Hara coming up right now with Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Have a great day.